Hooray!
Hey folks, what's up? Welcome back to the 44th episode of the Darren Harris Program, or the Darren Harris Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Harris. Welcome back, folks. Quick fast, I want to do a mental health check, make sure everybody's mental health is on task. How you doing this week? I hope everything was good. This week was a little stressful for me, but not too terrible. It was all right. I did all right, so it was all right. But I'm not here to talk about mental health today. And again, I think I'm going to suspend the format for this week because I want to talk about the Grammys. I watched the Grammys last night. Now, I don't watch the Grammys. I'm not really a Grammy watcher. I haven't watched the Grammys in years. I mean, it had to be like years. I hadn't watched the Grammy in years. But last night, my wife wanted to watch the Grammys. So we got together and we decided we were going to watch the Grammys. So caught it right at the beginning. And I want to tell you right off the bat, Bad Bunny is that dude. Bad Bunny, well, a couple of reasons. I'm going to tell you why Bad Bunny is that dude. For one, he's a hell of a performer. For two, he don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about what he does or what he says. And for three, this dude got nominated for Album of the Year for an album recorded entirely in Spanish. Yeah, Album of the Year. I don't even know what this shit is saying, but it's dope. It sound good. I'm about my seat. And that was the thing, man. The performance, it was right in the beginning. If you haven't seen it, I think it's on YouTube. You can check it out on YouTube. It's on the internet now. Everything is on the internet now. But if you didn't see it, check it out, because he blew it up. He had dancers from everywhere. He had giant characters. It was off the chain. And it was the first thing. He opened right up with it. And I don't care. I didn't understand a word he was saying. My wife is Spanish, so she was, of course, she's Puerto Rican too. So she was up and at it. She was like, yo, this is my man right here. Bad Bunny about to sweep the whole Grammys. And, you know, I felt her excitement. And it was really cool to watch her, you know, kind of support somebody from her island. And I was very happy for him. And he did a really, really solid job on the performance also, especially, you know, the Grammys being a majority, you know, English speaking platform. This guy really laid it down. So much so that, I mean, you looked around and everybody was up out of their seats. Like everybody was dancing around. I mean, everybody had it going. I mean, everybody except for Ben Affleck, though. If you saw Ben Affleck, I saw Ben Affleck. He was completely lost. He didn't know what he was doing through the whole Grammys. Not just that part, but I mean, really, especially, I mean, he got a Puerto Rican wife. Bad Bunny is winning. I mean, he's doing his thing. And your wife is wilding out. You can't even wild out with her because you don't even know. I mean, he was in Batman mode. He was still in Batman mode. He couldn't take it off. He should have just had his cape and his mask on. He just was looking around like he was a straight fish out of water. He's like, this is the wrong award show for me. But it was still fun to kind of watch this guy flounder around. But, you know, I really kind of felt for him because his wife, you know, she's not really Latin anymore. I don't consider J-Lo to really be Latin. She kind of defected and she acts like she's too good for everybody now. So I don't really think about her. When people say Latin actress, I really don't even think about J-Lo. One, because I don't think she's Latin anymore. And B, because she can't act. So I really don't think about J-Lo like that. But even still, she was up supporting Daddy Yankee. But the one thing I really kind of had a problem with where this was concerned. Hey, cuz, what's happening? Where this was concerned is Taylor Swift. I think a few people, I talked to a few people about it, and the few people that I spoke with, you know, a racially diverse crowd, I might add. The group of people I spoke with, we collectively agreed we about tired of Taylor Swift. I'm about done with Taylor Swift. I'm about done with her. I'm serious. Bad Bunny was off in Spanish. She was dancing around. But you know what I think is happening, though? I think Bad Bunny banging her. I think he about to start banging Taylor Swift. So, because she was all in it. She was all up in his mix, just all up in it. And then they had a picture or something after the Grammys or something like that. And I think something is I mean, I guess they did a song together or something. Actually, she danced around while him and Jack Harlow did a song. But she was dancing around anyway. And I think she danced around because she got it for Bad Bunny. But that's all right. Bad Bunny is that man. He going to hit, quit, and bounce. So, but I really did enjoy the first performance. Another thing I really enjoyed about it was this year was the 50th anniversary of hip-hop music. Hip-hop music. Love that, love that. It was made on 1520 Sedgwick Avenue in the Bronx by a DJ called Kool Herc. What Kool Herc used to do, he used to take the break beats of all the popular songs and just to take the breaks, and he would spin the breaks, and that created hip-hop. And Grandmaster Flash took it a step further by pulling the record back and forth and creating the first scratch. He was the first person to scratch. And that made a definitive sound in hip-hop and later, well, the definitive music sound, and that later became hip-hop. And to watch last night, I watched the performance last night of, I guess, from the beginning of hip-hop to currently. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed the entire thing. I enjoyed the whole performance all the way until we got to the last dude. The little trap guy. I mean, I'm not sure who he is. I can't remember who he is. I'm sorry. I don't mean, you know, no disrespect or anything like that, but that dude lost everybody. I think if you looked around, everybody looked, are we being punked? Because this can't be. I mean, some of the hip hop artists was like, "Word, this is what it is now for real. We'd have made it here." And I know Rakim is just—I mean, he is just beside himself because, you know, he's the god MC. He was Mr. Lyricism for a long time, and really to this day is my most favorite MC. My most favorite MC out of any MC that ever lived was Rakim, and he came on, and I think everybody did like four bars. I think everybody did like four bars, and it was like a medley or montage, and they did like four bars, and everybody's verse was tight. Everybody, I mean, it sounded like it was a little bit off because it's just maybe they couldn't hear, but everybody was still tight. Run DMC was on it. I definitely enjoyed me some Run DMC, even though Jam Master Jay wasn't there. Run and DMC, they still was, I mean, especially DMC. DMC is my dude, but even Run still, I think Run could still rap. I think Run could still get down with everybody else. Run was, at one time, Reverend Run was the best rapper alive. And that's no bullshit. At one time, nobody was messing with Run. Nobody. At one time, Run from Run DMC was the greatest rapper alive. And that's no bullshit. And then later on, as hip-hop evolved, of course, you got other rappers. They had Grandmaster Melly Mel on, which, yo, for real, that dude again, at one time, he was the greatest rapper alive. And I say that to say this. There are a lot of rappers that claim to be great that need to learn a lot from old school rappers, because old school rappers, they talked about actual shit. You know what I'm saying? They didn't talk about the shit motherfuckers talking about today, because a lot of this shit is, you got to be kidding me, man. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I just can't get down with it. Now, don't get me wrong. I do enjoy the productions. Now, there's a large amount of hot producers today. I'm a beat maker myself. I'm a producer myself. You know, it's a large amount of producers that just make phenomenal music. But the rappers today, there's still a few. I'm not going to say everybody, because Kendrick Lamar is the fucking man, and he blew it up last night also. His album, I mean, not performance-wise, but his album. That was one of my earbuds from the podcast a few weeks ago, was Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, and that whole album is just, I knew it was going to win. It had to win, because he's on a different plane than a lot of the, of course he makes, you know, the dance tracks or the club tracks, but I think his mind works a lot deeper than a lot of the hip hop artists today. There's a few of them, J. Cole, there's a few of them, Jordan Lucas, there's a few of them that their minds are, in my opinion, the greatest minds in hip hop at this moment. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to listen to something that really doesn't have that much artistic value. You know, just some idiots rapping over a beat about nothing. I just can't get down with it. Now, there are some new artists that are in that genre of music that do have some, you know, pretty impactful things to say. But the majority of these motherfuckers today is talking about absolutely nothing over hot beats. And that's just a shame. Because you could get some dude talking about absolutely nothing, bubblegum and bullshit, but Most Def can't get radio play. And that's one of the realest dudes in hip-hop history. So there's something that needs to happen in the hip-hop community where we need to refocus back on actual hip-hop as opposed to this pop-hop that's getting a lot of this play because of record company execs, because they're not putting on the hip-hop that they really should be putting on. But the cool part about that is independency now. People are jumping on the independent bandwagon and saying, you know what, I can put my own music out. I don't need you to put my stuff out for me. I can make my own decisions. I can keep my own catalog. You don't own me. And that right there makes for what I think is better business in music. So, I mean, because let's face it, back in them days, the hip hop artists, they didn't get paid, not even a fraction of what they get paid today. And that is a shame, because some of the greatest hip hop music is the older music. And they get, you know, something. Some of them don't even get their royalties. Some of them don't get any of that. And it's a shame, because some of the music we still hear in the club, some of the music we still, you know, dance to, some of the music still getting sampled. It's like that. And that's the way it is. Not to be corny with the Run DMC reference, but it is. It really is like that. And that's the way it is. But it can be changed if everybody gets together. So what else? Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre is, again, the man, will always be the man. And like I said, one of the most prolific beat makers in history is Dr. Dre. And last night he was awarded some sort of lifetime achievement award that actually they made it because of him, and it bears his name, and he was the first recipient. And that dude right there, Dr. Dre, in my opinion, will go down in history probably as the greatest modern day hip hop producer. I mean, I know there's Jay Dilla, there's a lot of people. Pete Rock's one of my favorites. So is Dilla, and but Dr. Dre has broke the mold. He really has broke the mold, because Dr. Dre has one thing that a lot of people haven't had, which is the gift of longevity. Because he was around. I remember Dr. Dre. I used to live in California, right? I was a breakdancer out in California. And I remember Dr. Dre before N.W.A. It was Dr. Dre before N.W.A. There was a song, and the song was called Dr. Dre. And it was real simple. It was just Dr. Dre. And it was him as a DJ, but when he was DJing. And that was just, it was an underground song that everybody was, you know, popping and breaking to. But it was just one of them songs that it was like, all right, this song is pretty dope. But it was by a guy that was known in California, but virtually unknown anyplace else. And that dude turned out to be fucking Dr. Dre. And here he is today. And I think that's great as far as music is concerned. So shout out to Dr. Dre. Hats off to you, brother, for winning. For having an award named after you. I think that is amazing. So I'm really anxious to see who next year's recipient of that award will be. What else happened at the Grammys? Oh yeah, Chris Brown is a douchebag, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it again. Once again, Chris Brown is a fucking douchebag. And I'll tell you why. Because he just don't know when to shut the fuck up. He just doesn't know when to stop talking. Now, I like Chris Brown's music, but Chris Brown as a person, cocksucker. Just a poor quality person. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, your music is cool, but you just a poor quality person. He is upset that he did not win the Grammy Award for Best R&B Album. And he is upset because he lost out to Robert Glasper. Now, if you don't know Robert Glasper is probably one of the most prolific pianists or musicians of modern R&B, jazz, and soul today. That dude is so fucking funky, man. My wife actually put me onto him, and he was one of my earbuds a few weeks back as well that I listened that because I sat and listened to his whole album after my wife had put me onto him. And I was like, yo, I really dig this guy's stuff because of his style of piano. It's not like anybody else's. It really isn't like anybody else's. I mean, Snarky Puppy is dope, but this guy right here, I mean, in my opinion, for my taste, I'm a Robert Glasper fan. So Chris Brown basically was like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, quote unquote, because he didn't really realize, I mean, I'm sure he realized who Robert Glasper was, but I guess he didn't think Robert Glasper was in his class, which is stupid to think that an actual trained musician is not in your class. Come on, Chris, bruh. You got to wake up, man. I mean, and now you probably never work with dude. I would jump at the chance to work with Robert Glasper just because I know that whatever he's going to put down is going to be funky. Now, I don't feel that same way about Chris Brown. If I was a producer, I could take or leave Chris Brown. You know what I'm saying? And especially with the attitude like that, because, bro, you really ain't shit. All you do is sing. My cousin sings. My cousins sing. You know, there's a lot of people who sing, but just because you sing don't make you better than anybody, man. It doesn't make you better than anyone. It just means that you got a good voice that people like to listen to. And as long as you're not an asshole, then people will continue to listen to you. But the single thing that you got nominated for, a few years back, you got nominated for almost damn near everything. But this year, you got nominated for one thing. And you lost that to Robert Glasper. And then not only did you lose, you weren't even a graceful loser about it. You got on your social media and was like, oh, I'm going to do something cool. Like, I'm going to learn harmonica and come back next year strong with some harmonica, trying to mock this dude and make fun of this dude. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what. Robert Glasper has class. And folks, whoever's listening to me, go out. Check out some Robert Glasper. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking to, especially if you're into soul music. If you're into soul music, this dude right here is definitely a must get. I did say that before in my earbuds section before, and I'll say it again. Go out, get you some Robert Glasper in your playlist. And I'm going to keep rolling right along. So what were people wearing? Oh, before I get into what people were wearing, I want to get into Trevor Noah, the host, the guy who hosted. Go ahead and give Trevor Noah a round of applause because I like that brother a lot. And he deserves every good accolade that comes to him because he works hard, for one, and he's humble about it. He really is. He recently left The Daily Show, which I watched a couple of episodes of The Daily Show last week with Dale Hughley on. It was really good. And I do like the new format of The Daily Show, but that's another subject. But he left. Trevor Noah left The Daily Show in order to pursue what he really wanted to do, which was be a comedian, which is what he is, a comedian and show host. And that's what he is, you know. And The Daily Show, he was so good at it that he was getting like sucked into it. And it was to the point that he was like, either I'm going to do this for the rest of my life or I got to get out and start doing what I really want to do. And that's what he did. Is he, you know, put a 2 weeks in, you know, put a notice in and left on good terms, like any classy dude would do when you're leaving a job. Like, see, I ain't classy. I just quit. I'm out of here. This place is trash. Fuck y'all. I'm out. But he put his couple of weeks in and let everybody know he came on and was. He was sad about it, and he told everybody. And actually, even through COVID, I watched a lot of The Daily Show through COVID. And even from his house, he was entertaining. He was funny, and he was very articulate. Like last night, he was, I mean, just one of the most articulate brothers out there, man. And I'll tell you what, Trevor Noah, hats off to you, brother, for doing a stellar job at hosting the Grammys, man. I hope to see much, much more of you doing that type of stuff. And I also hope to see your stand-up, too, because I've seen a few of your stand-up specials, and you're funny, brother, and I look forward to seeing more of that as well. So hats off to that brother for doing his thug thizzle during the Grammys. So I'm sitting here looking and thumbing through some of the some of the things that happened in the Grammys, at the Grammys, one of the things I wanted to say that I really kind of was upset about, well, I can't really say that I was upset, but I was like, all right, this, sometimes I think award shows are fixed. And I think they are. I just think that they are. I think they lean towards a particular artist because they want to. You know, I mean, like the guy, I mean, like Beyonce, right? Beyonce, she won 4 times last night, but she didn't win any major categories. She won Best Electronic Dance Album or something like that. Something like that. What? That's it? I mean, she did make history by surpassing the person who held the most Grammys at 31, at 30. Beyonce now has 31 Grammys. She is the most awarded Grammy winning artist in history. More than Prince, more than Michael Jackson, more than Elvis, more than anybody. And God bless that sister, because she puts in the work. She puts in the work, and she puts in it. She's been putting in the work and has always put in the work to where some of these other artists don't have to really put in nothing, and they get nominated for damn near everything. This girl's got to scratch, scrounge, and scrape every album she puts out, banger after banger after banger, and she be losing to like Taylor Swift. Like, just be losing to like, I mean, she lost to Bonnie Raitt last night. Now, I will say this. I am a big fan of Bonnie Raitt. I have always been a big fan of Bonnie Raitt. Yes, me, black ass Darren Harris, likes Bonnie Raitt. And Bonnie Raitt definitely deserves her Grammy. But I think this. I listen to Harry Styles' album. I mean, I listen to music. I listen to music every week. I listen to different music every week for my podcast, so I could tell you about the music that I'm listening to, so I could tell you what to go out and listen to. I listened to Harry Styles, and I was like, yeah, I could pass on this. Now, I do like alter, I like music like that, I do. But I didn't think it was the album of the year. I really didn't think it was that. I really didn't. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. I'm entitled to it, but it's just my opinion. Everybody doesn't have to agree with me. That's just my opinion. But I don't think Harry Styles, I mean, I don't think that dude won Album of the Year. I really don't think so. If you ask me, and I'm not just being, you know, Beyonce crazy, because I'm hip hop. I'm really not R&B. I'm kind of R&B. I do like some R&B, but I'm Captain Hip Hop, man. You know, and also I'm a DJ, so I do have a pretty broad musical palette. But I'll go ahead and say it: Beyonce beat the shit out of Harry Styles. He really did. He really, really did. I mean, she really did. Not he, she. She did. I think she won. I mean, but that goes back to what I say about, I think that the Academy, both the Motion Picture Academy and the Music Academy, I think they're both fixed. I've always thought that shit. I think that shit is fixed. You know, I mean, certain songs be getting nominated that you never heard of. Other songs that be getting radio play all fucking year never get nominated. Never even heard of. Not even heard of the artist. They've been bumping the shit out of this music all year. And this dude didn't get no nominations. But meanwhile, some song from the soundtrack of the Whales movie will get like 7 nominations. And you're like, who the fuck is this? And that happens a lot. I guess that's what Chris Brown was like when he lost to Robert Glasper. Who is Robert Glasper? But do your research. Robert Glasper is that dude. I mean, there are some people out there who definitely deserve to win those Grammys. But I will say this, man. There are some people out there who the Academy just wants to be that next dude. They just want that person to be that next top tier celebrity, musical celebrity, just because based on looks, based on social media, his ability to, his charisma, his charm, a lot of it isn't really based on vocal talent. Sometimes, I mean, because I've heard some flat ass vocals that get award after award. I'm just like, all right, okay, all right, whatever. Okay. You know, I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to knock nobody and their skills. And I'll be honest. I mean, people don't like some of the music I make, and it is what it is. But be fair, be honest. I just think that, I mean, even if Beyonce didn't win, I really still don't think Dude's album was album of the year. I just don't think that. I'm wrong, but I think that there needs to be different award shows. There are different award shows, but I think that there needs to be the hip hop awards. Why not? Why not just have the R&B awards? They got the CMAs. Why not just have the straight first annual hip hop awards? And it's only hip hop music. It's nobody else. It's all hip hop artists. Same thing with R&B. Same thing with rock and roll. Same thing with everything else. That's it. There it is, right there. But that remains to be seen. That's a long ways off, I'm afraid, and that's all right. I had a good time watching the Grammys with the wife. She kind of fell asleep after Bad Bunny. She did wake up for a few of the things, but she kind of faded out, as did I after a little while. But I did kind of, I mean, there's the part of the Grammys when they start giving away, like, Grammys for, you know, other stuff that don't really, and then you wake back up. And that's what happened to me. I woke back up, and it was a different part of the Grammys, and it was more performance-based. Lizzo blew it up. Again, I love me some Lizzo, man. I love, Beyonce lost to Lizzo, too. She lost to Lizzo. You know, she lost to, I mean, lost. And I love Lizzo, but come on, y'all. But I will say, Lizzo is, in the next couple years, she is set to be that next holy shit hot diva. She's there right now, but a couple more years, she gonna be that old head on the block where everybody like, yo, that's Lizzo right there. Just like Adele, she just now getting that status. When she first came out, everybody's like, wow. And then she had another out, wow. And now everybody, she's kind of solidified into being pop icon. You know, she's an icon now. Beyonce's an icon, been an icon for a long time. Adele is an icon now. Lizzo is a pop superstar. She's a superstar now. Not quite an icon yet, a superstar. But her iconic status is on its way. Trust me, as long as she keep doing music the way she's doing it, it's going to be banging, banging, banging. She's going to have club banger after club banger after club banger. I listened to her. She was actually one of my earbuds this year also. And her shit was tight. Her shit is tight. Her shit is fun. It's enjoyable. It's catchy. That bitch could rap. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you out your name like that, but she could rap her ass off. And I'm like, yo, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. And I'm 52. I'm an old dude. I'm like an old head. You know what I'm saying? I don't be out here with these young whippersnappers in the club no more, sitting there trying to get a drink. I don't do that shit no more. I sit at my fucking house. I get a bottle of liquor and I sit there and I drink it. And then I go to the club. But I think that in the next few years, Lizzo will, of course, she'll gain her iconic status and she'll become that musical icon. But right now, like I said, she's a pop superstar and fully on her way to being one of the greatest artists of all time. I really enjoyed her music. I enjoyed what she did. I enjoyed her performance. I enjoy that she embraces who she is. And I enjoy the fact that she don't give a fuck what other people say about her. I enjoy that. I enjoy the fact that she eats and she enjoys eating and she is overweight and she enjoys being overweight. I look at it like this. Back in the day, there used to be a rapper called Heavy D, and there was another rapper. His name was Chubb Rock, and we all know the notorious B.I.G. And everybody, these big dudes, big dudes, you know what I'm saying? They get all this, but a big woman, they get ridiculed a lot. A big woman gets shut down a lot. A big woman, their opportunities don't come around as much. And she made these opportunities. She made these opportunities regardless of what she looked like, regardless of who said she couldn't do it, regardless. And here she is, a few years later, Grammys. Bam. She is going to be that icon before too long. Like I said, right now, she's been out, what, 2, 3, 4 years or something like that? She is now a pop superstar. When she first came out, she was a pop star. Now she's like a pop superstar. Next is pop icon. You know what I'm saying? Beyonce's already there. She's a pop icon, R&B icon, soul music icon, even in the hip-hop genre, icon. You know, like Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige, and I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Mary is queen of all you motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Mary is right there. Queen of all you motherfuckers. And then Beyonce is like, in my book, Beyonce is a close number two. Like a close number two. But I'll tell you what. Don't mess with Mary. Because she is the same. She's got that iconic status. She's got that straight up iconic status. And I really, really enjoyed her performance. Her all the outfits that everybody wore. Her outfit was dope. Everything about that Grammys, just about everything, was really, really good. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm going to close this up with DJ Khaled and his performance. And them cats, I mean, they blew it up, man. They really, really... They brought the house down. They just let Jay rap forever, man. He rapped like 3 songs worth. But I'll say this. Wayne put the screws to it, man. Wayne, and it took a long time for Wayne to grow on me. But he put the screws to it. That cat is nasty. That cat is nasty. Always going to be nasty. I'm always going to be a fan. Always going to be a fan of Wayne. Definitely a fan of Hove, but you could definitely tell that Jay is a lot lazier lyrically than he used to be. I'm not calling him a lazy person by any means. I'm just saying he's a little more relaxed in his lyrical style. It's not so punchline driven anymore. I mean, like the thing in rap is your punchlines. If you got some good punchlines, you could keep going and keep rolling and you know what I'm saying? You could keep it pushing. But if you're short on punchlines, you die out. Unless you're somebody like Jay-Z, where you don't really need to have a bunch of punchlines. You just are who you are. You are a hip-hop icon. You have reached that iconic status where no matter where you are on the planet, I don't care if you trapped in a cave in Belize and there's some little dude that's going to lead you out of the cave. He's going to look at you and know that you're Jay-Z. You've reached that status. Beyonce has reached that status. Certain celebrities have reached that status. And I'll tell you what, I really, 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 really hope that in the future, because I saw a lot of this in the Grammys, I saw a lot of division. There was a lot of division. There's still division. They say it's inclusive and we're going to, nah, there's a lot of division. And I think that this should happen. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'm not. And I think that this might be a good thing to do. If you ladies are out there listening to me, if any of you artists are out there listening to me, I know there's been crossover songs, but I don't think there's been a whole crossover album. You know what I'm saying? I think that Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Shania Twain, Pink, I think every top artist from every genre, like all the girls, I think they should all make an album. I think they should all get together and they should all make an album. And in that way, Pink has got a little chance to be on, you know, so get down with some Beyonce. And Beyonce can get down with Shania Twain. And Shania Twain can get down with Taylor. I think that should happen. I really think that instead of having all the, I mean, yes, you should keep your genres. But I also think that all of these artists, they should collaborate from time to time and put out an album that is inclusive for everybody so that all of the fans, can like all the music and be introduced to other music, because I know that there are some fans that have never heard a Beyonce record. I know there are some other fans that have never heard a Taylor Swift record. But if they put out an album together or a record together, guess what? Everybody's going to listen. And from that, I don't really like Taylor Swift, but I like that song she has with Beyonce. Maybe I'll listen to some more Taylor Swift and vice versa. Maybe I'll listen to a little more Beyonce. And the same thing for the rest of the music, as opposed to being so divisive. Everybody wants to separate themselves. Oh, well, this ain't that. And classic rock and, classic soul and R&B. Nah, man, come on, man. Music is music. Music is brought. It was made to bring people together, not to divide people. And that's the thing that I feel is happening, is even music is dividing us. We're being divided because of our music. And I think that that should stop. I think we need to be brought more together. And I think one of the ways to do that is ever so often, all these artists from all these different, we should mix a little gangsta rap with some country. Why not? Why not? Why not? Let's do it. Who's down? Anybody down? You know what I'm saying? Anybody? Pusha T and Dierks Bentley or something? Come on now. Somebody. I'd like to see it. I'd like to hear it. I really would. Kendrick Lamar with somebody. I'd like to see it. I'd like to hear it, because some of the best music ever made in the history of music was made when this person and that person didn't know anything about each other and brought their styles together and created a new genre of music. And that's where you get the best music from, is people who are like-minded, who don't get hung up on society's hang-ups, who are here for the music, who are here for the love, that see you as an equal musician, and you guys can get together and put out actual good music. And that, for me, that's where I would like to see music go. Because in that, the academies, they can't lean more towards one genre or the other, or one artist or the other. And if you don't think they lean towards one artist more than the other, you're a fucking idiot, because they've been leaning at Taylor Swift for 25,000 years. I mean, every single thing she... Listen, Bad Bunny was performing, and they just kept cutting to Taylor Swift. Like, she was Latin. She ain't even Latin. And they was looking at her. If she danced a little bit, they cut over to Taylor Swift. She move and try to drink a little bit of something, they cut over to Taylor Swift. For what? For what? For why? It doesn't make no sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense. But they do that. They do that because that is, at currently right now, in that genre, Taylor Swift is the golden girl. You know what I'm saying? In the R&B genre, Beyonce is the golden girl. I don't really know too much about rock music anymore. I don't even know if they had rock music category last night. I hope they did. And whoever won, congratulations. But whoever at the top of the rock category, that person, like I said, everybody at the top of their game should get together and make an album for that, for inclusion of all races. So then these people over here that are these right wings or these liberals over here, you guys got to shut the fuck up against each other, because here you got a liberal over here and you got a conservative over there. They made the most bangingest track in the country telling y'all that you're stupid. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's where I'd like to see a lot of this shit go. I'm ranting. What else do I have? Performances, Dr. Dre, 50 Years in Hip Hop, Bad Bunny. What else? Da-da-da-da-da, so on and so forth. I think that's about it. I think that might be doing it for the... Listen, I'm actually live on my Facebook right now, and one of my friends just said... Run DMC and Aerosmith. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When they collaborated, there needs to be more of that. And my other friend Todd McGill just said, he said, "We Are the World." Remember that? If you're young, you don't remember that. You don't remember that if you're a, but go back and listen to "We Are the World." It was everybody. I mean, literally from that time, it was every major star. But the only thing about that, it was only one song. It should have been an album. That's also, I'll do you one better. Elton John did "That's What Friends Are For," and he took some other people. He took some other genres of people and made other genres and made a banging song, a real song that everybody could take, that people remember to this day, like something that impacts music so greatly that it's remembered years and years later. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what needs to happen in music today. Even house music, even that I'm looking at. What's up, Ty? How you doing, homie? But even house music needs to be integrated. And that's one of the reasons I really did like Beyonce. And also what Drake did too, is they're crossing over. They're trying to popularize that music because it's great music. There's so many good house artists that nobody's ever heard of. So many great house music artists. I got a friend named Deja. That dude, that cat right there, as far as house music goes, he can tell you anything about most house music artists. That dude right there is serious about his house music, and it's fun music. You go out, you dance around, you meet people. There's no pretense. Nobody's dancing up on somebody's ass, you know, trying to root. Nah, it's not even about that. It really isn't about that. It's about the love and it's about the soul. There used to be a party in New York called Body and Soul that everybody used to go to during the day. And there's another one that my wife used to go to in Chicago called The Chosen Few. And those are two house music parties that I swear, man, that shit should be going on every day and it should be more mainstream than it is because it's just fun music. And I think that house music should be made a more mainstream part of the Grammys because what the fuck do you think a lot of these people is dancing to in the club anyway? Fucking house music. A lot of these clubs a lot of these remixes that are made for the club, they get remade into house music so that they can be played in clubs for people who dance. A lot of these songs, every artist does it. Just about every artist does it. There's always a house mix to something. You don't think so? Shania Twain has house music mixes. Think I'm lying? Check it out. I'm not even kidding. There's house music mixes for, and I think that all of these things need to come around. Listen, house music is one of the most popular genres. House music is not one of the most. It's the most popular genre because it goes everywhere. It goes everywhere. And not only does it go everywhere, it goes with everything. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And there's so many different types of it. There's so many different types. There's chill out. There's industrial. There's soulful house. There's Afro house. And there's just, but it's all house music. You know what I'm saying? It's all music. And that's the way that house music artists treat it. It's all music. And we are all one. We are all the same. We are all love. We don't do that shit in any other job. I mean, it's really not like that. Everybody else is competing against each other and mad at each other. Chris Brown cussing people out for losing. I mean, I'm just beside myself with Chris Brown. He needs to just quit it, man. Chris Brown needs to just hang it the fuck up, dude. You're all right. You had your heyday. You was all right for a while, man. Hang it the fuck up. You're a douchebag. You know what I'm saying? Robert Glasper is that dude. And, you know, shame on you, Chris, for just being a sore loser, man. You a douchebag. You just a douchebag. You're a douchebag. Be humble about it, man. You've won yours. Let people win theirs. I don't even know if this was Robert Glasper's first Grammy, but you know what? He won. He won. And from my opinion, and I've listened to the albums. I've listened to them. And I'll tell you what, I could listen to a few Chris Brown songs. I could listen to four Robert Glasper albums back to back. That's no bullshit. If you don't know who I'm talking about, Robert Glasper. It's on YouTube. Get it. Find out who that dude is. Because especially that genre of music, if you like that real sophisticated, mellow, urban swag, then that's the dude for you. You know what I mean? Because that's what I'm on. So I think that might do it for this week's episode of the Darren Harris Podcast. I do have a lot of shit I want to talk about. There's a bunch of other shit that I haven't even touched on as far as the Grammys are concerned, but I'm getting up there in time. So I don't know. Maybe I'll come back and do another episode of this. And I don't know. Talk about maybe the future music. What can happen? What can be done? I mean, I have a lot of friends that are musicians, beat makers, rappers, singers, dancers, DJs. I got a lot. I mean, I have all that. So maybe one day I'll try to pull some of my friends together and get together and sit down and figure out where the future of music is going. Because one minute we love music, the next minute we're old and we're like, where the fuck did this kind of music come from? So, I mean, that was the feeling last night, you know, from the hip hop tribute. The hip hop tribute was dope. But the last guy, I mean, like I said, I don't mean you any disrespect, brother, but last night, even though them artists was old, you was a bit out of your league, my man. And I'm sorry, maybe you have to come into it a little bit more, but maybe as you get older, you'll understand what I'm saying. But you got to come into it a little bit more. You got to come into it a little bit more. And I know there's a lot of young dudes out there like, yo, this is the music of the future and fuck the old dudes. The old dudes, we run this shit now. But I tell you what. Have some humility, because one of the reasons that hip hop is that you were able to have what you have and that hip hop is one of the most popular genres of music in history is because of these old people who paved the way before you. So, and that's in every genre. But I do notice that our genre, hip hop, is one of the most disrespectful genres out there. It really is. And that is another podcast. So I definitely want to cover that in the near future, and I will. But for this time right now, I'm going to wrap this episode of the Darren Harris Podcast up. Thank you very, very much for tuning in. I would like to thank my wife for being the best wife in the world. I want to thank my mother also for being the best mother in the world. I want to thank my best friend Jay Yandle for believing in me and pushing me to do this podcast. I want to thank Gentry Thomas, the gentleman who gives me the platform to deliver my podcast on. And I would definitely love to thank all of you who are listening, the ones who have already listened, the people who have listened and don't listen anymore, the people who have yet to listen, and the people that are listening right now. I really want to thank you guys. I do appreciate it. This, again, is my 44th episode. A few more episodes and I will have been doing 1 year of the Darren Harris Podcast, and I'm very excited about it. And there's just going to be more. I'm going to try and do more and more content. I'm trying to get more comfortable with what I'm doing. I'm trying to get rid of my crutch words so I'm delivering more content that is meaningful and more entertaining and not so repetitious. So, again, thank you very much, everybody, for joining me for this week's episode of the Darren Harris Podcast. I will see y'all next week. Thank you very much. Peace.